Welcome to the Breaking Chains podcast, where we are breaking free from the chains of our past and rising to lead extraordinary lives. I believe it's time we ditch the rules of this world that are keeping us enslaved in the grind, playing from behind, and instead opt in to a conscious and strategic upgrade, one that is founded in timeless principles that can only be accessed through the power of the heart. So if you've been craving deeper, more meaningful relationships, vibrant bodies full of life force and true prosperity in all arenas, this podcast is for you. My name is Christine Jewell. I'm a high performance coach and faith-based mentor, and together we will awaken the king or queen you are destined to be so you can experience the fullness of life that's waiting for you. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. It's Christine Jewell. And you guys, today I have an awesome episode for you. I have an awesome conversation. It's coming to you on the heels of the last episode I did with my husband, my love, Mark Jewell, when we talked about the five conversations, must-have conversations that have really changed the game in our marriage. Now, here's the thing. I get a lot of questions around relationships, around communication, around how to talk to each other, right? How do I talk to her so she will listen? How do I get her to trust me again? How do I communicate with a strong, independent woman or strong, independent man? How do I communicate with a husband who's passive or non-responsive, right? So I get a lot of these questions. And by the way, keep them coming. If you guys haven't already, connect with me on Instagram. You can drop us in the DMs, get on our email list. You can follow the links below, because I always ask you guys, what is the feedback? What do you want to hear more of? And relationships, identity, our spiritual walk, these are things that I keep hearing over and over again. So today, I'm going to dive in a little bit deeper into the art of communication. Specifically, how do you communicate with a fiercely independent, strong woman? Now, why would I talk about this? First of all, because I am one. I'm not a fiercely independent, but man, I used to be for many, many years. I operated very much like with a badge of honor that I could do everything alone. I did not need a man for anything. Everything I needed was within me, and everybody else was there to like tow my agenda. It was Christine's way or the highway. I mean, I was very strong-willed. I'm still very strong-willed. I have a lot of ideas. I still have a lot of ideas. I have the way that I think things should go. So I have a very strong personality, a very charismatic personality. I have a lot of dreams, a lot of visions, a lot of desires. And to be honest, I don't hold back, you know. So my husband, you know, we're always challenging. And what do they say? Iron sharpens iron, right? But here's the thing. For many, many years, as you guys know, and I'm not going to go into my story because I've shared it so many times, but I had it kind of twisted. And I didn't know how to really, A, communicate effectively as a strong woman. It was kind of like a bull in a china closet many times. Like, I was very articulate, but not open to listening. I was not receptive to receiving a lot of feedback, advice, insight, input, especially from the men in my life because of the history that I had and the state that my nervous system was in, which I'll talk about in a minute. So here's the thing. I was in a different state. I was not receptive. I was very like in my lane, thinking that I had to do it my own. And I want to share this because some of you are married to a woman like this. Some of you are in a relationship with a person like this. And so a couple things I want to preface before we go in, right? Number one, I'm doing this because I can relate from being on both sides of the fence. Like, I know what it's like to be that woman that secretly, even unconsciously at times, because sometimes it's not conscious, but consciously or unconsciously, secretly, she desperately wants to have healthy dialogue, like union, communication, a partner to work with. She wants to lead and be led. But she has this idea that somewhere in her psyche, right? It could be unconscious. It could be wounding. That's just not going to happen. It's not possible. She's going to have to be the one to strap up her shoes and pull up her pants, her big girl pants, and get things done. And so I know what it's like to be in that space. Now, three things I want to preface. While these are foundational communication principles that I believe apply to most all people that are especially, I mean, they're great communication principles to use anywhere across the board. especially though, when you're dealing with someone who might be really entrenched in this identity of being fiercely independent, really kind of like, I don't want to say like one lane, but kind of, right? They're just like, they're just like, they've got their opinions, they've got their ways, they've got their ideas, and they don't seem to be receptive. Now, I'm going to talk about tactical things today. I'm going to give you actual tactical things. And in fact, as I was preparing for this, I don't always prepare for my podcasts. A lot of them are very intuitive. They just flow what's on my heart. I was preparing for this because one of the things that I know I'm going to do is I'm going to be saving this as one of the trainings in our vault. If you guys don't know, I have a coaching program. Part of the benefits of being in any of our coaching programs is access to this online vault, which is a wealth of resources. We've got trainings and courses on relationships, on wealth, on conscious language, on deepening your spiritual walk. And we're continuing to cultivate that vault, develop these programs. And I'm actually going to be breaking these out into micro courses. So I'm actually going to pull some of this for the Relationship Mastery course, the Communications course. And I'm just prefacing that because if you guys are not already on our list and you're not already getting the emails of different ways that you can get involved and get access to these programs, make sure that you get on the list. Follow the link below. I actually have a gift for you. I'm going to start leading with this today. This is new, that we are giving away the first three sections. So it's the introduction, the New Era Love Letter, and chapter one of my book. So you're going to get the first three sections, or they're not three chapters, but they're the very beginning of the book that sort of sets the foundation for what the entire book is about. And I'm giving it away for free so that you guys can get in there. You can chew on it. You can relate to it. I talk about the warrior origin story. I share where this independent, fierce, independent nature is born. So if you guys want to get that for free, the book itself doesn't actually get released till June 3rd, but you can get that ahead of time as a gift. You can even pre-order the whole book if you want. So when it drops, you get it. And you guys follow the link, but it's going to be at thechristinejewel.com/drop it. That is the link. Drop it, meaning drop the armor, drop it, give me that gift, drop it, let's go, let's move on into what God has for you. So get the gift, make sure you opt in for that, start reading on it, start chewing on it, because man, it is good. It is good, it is good, it is good. Okay, let's jump into the conversation. So three things I want to preface. Number one, like I said already, while these are foundational communication principles, they apply to all people. I'm going to focus on dealing with that fierce, independent woman. So I'm coming at it from that angle, but I want you to be thinking about where you can use this with other people in your life. Number two, you know that I'm always looking at things from a God-centric approach. Why? At the core, you can spew out communication tactics. There are books upon books upon books. Whenever you implement strategies or tactics, if you just implement the tactic, you might get the result for a minute or two. But if you understand the core of where it comes from, where it's born, and you operate from that place, from the heart of it, it is more sustainable. You actually get it in your being. You get it in your heart, right? It's not just something like a tactic that you're throwing out. You're sticking a bandaid on it, trying to see if it can work. You want it to be sustainable. So I always look at things from a God-centric approach because God is the author, okay, of relationships. He is the inventor of marriage. Like, he is love. So when we're talking about communication, relationships, marriage, I mean, why would you not go to the one who architected, who created, who designed the whole thing, the one who knows what the purpose is for it, the one who knows the how to multiply and prosper it and actually move in perfect union so that you guys actually multiply each other? Of course, I'm going to start there. Okay. It would be foolish to start anywhere else. So number two, always taking things from a God-centric approach, asking who is the author of this? Who is the designer of this? What is his approach, his teaching, his guidance? Number three, I'm going to dive into this preface again, is that if you are dealing with somebody, especially a woman who is fiercely independent in nature, who is kind of entrenched in this, she is most likely, for sure, self-protecting, self-preserving, self-directing, all up in her head, right? She's probably disconnected from her body, from her emotional, from her emotional self, right? So if you're meeting somebody else who's all up in their head, who's disconnected from their body, who's got protective armor on, and you're trying to talk to them out of your head, you're going to be like two butting heads, do, 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 right? Two bulls in a china closet. When a woman is usually in this state of hyper independence and kind of like locked down, locked up, rigid, tense, she's probably very hyper masculine in this moment. What I mean by that is she's disconnected from feeling safe, held, secure, right? Where she can actually drop in and still use that feminine power and beauty and grace and her voice and her ideas in the right way that she's created to, right? You can still be very powerful, but the communication is really multiplied when we're able to speak to each other from the heart, from the soul, from the spirit, instead of just head to head with walls up, self-protecting and everything else. So please know that when I'm using these examples of like she's being hyper-masculine, what I mean is she's trying to be her own protector. There's a part of her, for whatever reason, maybe it's programming, and I'm not going to get into that today because that's exactly what I teach in my courses when my clients work with me. I talk about this in the book. When you grew up and you either were forced to become your own provider, your own protector, you know, your own performer to get ahead, the emotional parent, or maybe other circumstances, that's what you got the love for, right? There's lots of reasons why these roots can take place. But I guarantee you she's in that place where she feels like she has to be the one. And so I want to start with that because you cannot, you know, talk to someone who's in that state and get through to them until they feel safe. That is going to be the first thing that I talk about here in a minute on your do's and your don'ts, okay? So you have to understand if somebody's feeling armored up, tense, rigid, even if they don't realize they are, because for a lot of women, especially women who've come from histories of either being abandoned or rejected or needing to be the emotional parent or, you know, needing to be the performer, the protector for their family, for themselves, or maybe they just, whatever the reason is, again, I'm not going into it, she's not going to be able to fully descend into her body, into her heart, and allow herself to be open and relaxed because she has to protect. She has to have those walls up, right? So the first order of business is to create an atmosphere where the other person feels safe. One of my favorite, this is not biblical at all, but one of my favorite authors and people to study around the area of communication, one of my favorite books was Never Split the Difference. And Chris Voss, those of you who've never read that book, he has some great YouTube trainings as well. But he wrote a book called Never Split the Difference. And he was an FBI hostage negotiator. And one of the things he talks about, which I share over and over again inside my coaching groups, and we role play and we play this out, is that, you know, you would think as an FBI hostage negotiator, you're talking to someone else who is literally physically armored up, who is holding people hostage, who has a very direct agenda. They know what they want. They know what they're going to get it. They're not backing down. The first order of business is not to get the hostages out. It's not to try to get it out. It's actually to build trust, to build safety, to get the other person that's on the other side of the phone to actually want to talk to you. And so I'm going to start with the number one thing and the number one of don't and the number one of do, which is like, you've got to create safety. If you know somebody's defensive, if you know somebody's armored up, if you know somebody's already like locked up in their head, your number one order of business is don't go in there ready to fight. Don't go in there ready to talk her into someone. Don't lead with your agenda and rushing in there like a bull in a china closet and trying to strong arm each other. And I'm sharing this because I would fight, y'all, I would fight like cats and dogs in the past. Like I was like, I've been in relationships where it's been like two warriors slaying each other with words and fighting and totally chaotic. I've also been in relationships where one person was the fighter and the other person was the total avoider, right? And so maybe your thing is to run and hide, which I'm going to talk about. That's another don't. But if you notice this, the number one job is to create safety. Create safety. How do you do this? I'm going to start with this. Do not ask her, well, what is wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why do you look like that, right? Because that is one of the worst things that we can do. What do you mean, what's wrong with me? When somebody's stressed or anxious or agitated, that's one of the worst things that we can lead with. Instead, do this. Check your state before you go in. Okay, are you also tensed up? Are you also rigid? Are you also going in expecting a fight? You're already defensive. You're already planning, you know, well, I'm going to say this. And what your state might be going in, you may also be defensive or offensive. You may be closed off. You might be anxious, agitated, frustrated because you just discovered something, you know, that either she did do, she didn't do, something happened. You want to run in there and fix it. It is so important that if someone else is agitated, someone else is anxious, someone else is closed off, you can't match that same energy, right? You're just going to multiply it. If she's agitated and you come in agitated, now we got agitated exponential. If she's frustrated and you're frustrated, now we're multiplying frustration. She's angry, you're angry, now we're multiplying anger. Number one thing is check your state. Talk about this all the time. State is everything. What do I mean by state? What is your mental state? What is your emotional state? What is your physical state? Check your energy, right? What are your thoughts? You've got to do the work yourself to get yourself grounded, to get yourself anchored, to get yourself calm so that you are the calm that becomes the atmosphere. When the atmosphere is safe, it's non-threatening, it is grounding, people naturally start to relax. And I'll tell you, a woman thrives in an environment. She begins to relax. She begins to breathe. She begins to open up when all of a sudden the atmosphere feels safe. So again, this could be entire 2-day of retreat on energy mastery and state and presence, but presence is power. So do check your state. Before you go in, take a couple minutes, do whatever you've got to do. Do some breath work, get grounded, do a little meditation, pray, release, like really start to decide how are you going to show up? What is the energy you're bringing into the room? What is the atmosphere you're going to create? Because you want to be the thermostat. You don't want to be the thermometer that's just reacting to everything, okay? Do not go in there tensed up, agitated, frustrated, matching her energy. By the way, I say this to guys all the time, and I say this to women too, but do not match the other person's state. Don't let their state dictate your state. Now you're just a puppet, right? You guys are just like puppets and you're playing this game. Somebody has to be the one that will hold the atmosphere of calm, of curiosity, of love, just neutrality, whatever you want to bring. Number two, do not offer advice or unsolicited solutions. You know, the book of Proverbs says, words from the mouth of the wise are gracious. They're life-giving. They yield much fruit. Fools are consumed by their own lips. Sometimes we go in and we're like, well, I can already see the answer to this. Well, I already know what you should do. Well, why aren't you doing this? And we start offering advice, unsolicited answers, unsolicited perspective, unsolicited. And so often, again, when you're dealing with a woman who's fiercely independent, who's on her agenda, like she's already got a ton of ideas. She's not asking you for your ideas, right? She doesn't want to hear your solutions. What she may be feeling is really overwhelmed by everything she's feeling like she needs to do, that she's not doing, that she's not living up to. And so she already knows, okay? She already knows what she needs to do. And she's already probably beating herself up that she's not doing it. She's probably really overwhelmed, consciously or unconsciously, and her body, her nervous system is buzzing. So the best thing you can do is lead with curiosity. Just observe her. Seek to understand before you try to be understood, okay? What I mean by this is like, when we go in and we lead with curiosity, you really have a heart to say, you know what? I just want to get to know her. I want to love on her. I want to just care for her. And this is where we have to upgrade our definition of caring. Because sometimes we think that if I care about someone, I'm fixing all their problems. I'm doing all the heavy lifting for them. But sometimes most often the most caring, most loving thing is just to be there with someone, to let them, you know, to be that safe space where they can talk. So I want to say that number two and number three of my do's, number one was check your state. Number two is lead with curiosity. Once you decide, okay, I'm calm, I'm grounded, you know, I'm neutral, I've released my stuff, right? I'm not taking the tension of my meeting into this. I'm not taking my irritations from last week into this. I did my work. That's called taking radical ownership, personal responsibility of what we bring to the table. Number two is truly leading, because this is what it means to lead. Lead with a general desire to be curious, to get to know her, to get to know her heart, to get to understand her more. How do you get to know somebody more? You watch them. You listen to them. You ask some questions, right? Like you genuinely want to know. Instead of going in, what happens is a lot, we go in, we're like, well, I already know what you should do. I already know what you're thinking. And we're telling the other person who they are, what they're doing, what they should be doing, what they're good at, what they're not good at. And nobody wants to be told that stuff unless they're asking, what do you see that I don't see? Most of the time when we're telling people things that they already know, it just irritates them even more, especially a woman who's strong and defensive. So I really encourage you to lead with curiosity. And this is important. I've said this so many times because this is the question that I get men asking me is, well, how do I lead her if I'm not talking? How do I lead her if I'm not telling her? How do I lead if I'm not fixing? Like I'm not leading. I'm just sitting around doing nothing. There's a big difference between sitting around being passive, uninterested, unresponsive, disconnected, hiding from the conversation because you don't want to be uncomfortable with her discomfort versus leading with a powerful presence that says, I'm going to hold this space for her. I'm going to just be the strong in the atmosphere, meaning not to compete with her, but almost like a container that's able to hold all of her ocean of emotions, right? Because even though a woman is strong and independent and fierce, and she may come across really emotional, but maybe she's all up in her head, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of energy behind all that that hasn't been expressed. So you got to learn to be a guy that can like, and a woman, by the way, this goes both ways, that you can hold space for the spoken emotions, but a lot of the unspoken things. Because remember that 93% of communication is actually nonverbal. So we can feel energy. That's why we get triggered. We're always responding to energy. So we have to get really good at checking our own and being able to observe the energy in the room without getting engulfed by it, without being taken on. I hope that wasn't too ethereal. I'm trying to make this practical. Number three, okay, do not ask questions that start with why or you. I want to really invite you, to eliminate those words from your vocabulary. An example of this, like, what were you thinking? Why did you do that? Why you did that? You always say this. Well, you did that. So we do this. And I talk about this often on the podcast where we lead with these questions of like, why, or what were you thinking? Or, well, you do this. So of course, what do you expect? Whenever we use the word you, right away, that person gets defensive again. So start getting curious. Like, what happened? Tell me more. What else is going on? How does this make you feel? What's coming up for you, right? Just ask questions that start with what, except for what were you thinking, unless you do it really from a place of compassion. Help me understand your thought process, right? Help me understand is a great switch. So guys, the do's, and by the way, this works with everyone, but it's like, help me understand. When we do this, we start to listen. We're leading with curiosity. We're moving into number three, which means to really listen. Ask questions and really listen. So pause before responding. Pause before jumping in and going, okay, well, here's what I heard. Sometimes you're hearing like the first quarter and then we're jumping right in to the solution. So we're gonna go in and we're gonna pause. We're gonna take that sacred pause, I call it, right? To just really make sure, did I hear what she said, or did I just listen to a bunch of noise in the atmosphere? Am I able to really grasp, repeat, mirror back what I just heard? If she says, I'm really frustrated, say, okay, you're really frustrated. Tell me more, right? You're literally able to repeat back what you heard. So check your state, lead with curiosity, listen, hear. I talked about this in the last episode where I said, the desire to obey comes from that Hebrew word to hear, to listen. I have a desire and a longing to really hear you so that I can respond to your need. I can respond to your call. I can respond to your true desire instead of just my projections of what I think you're saying or my interpretation, but I'm actually tuning my ears to hear your heart. there's a very big difference, because if we come in there triggered, we're irritated, we're projecting our frustration, and it's like a lens. It's like a what do you call it? I don't even know. It's like we're hearing what we want to hear instead of what's actually being said. Okay. So don't lead questions with why. Eliminate the word you from your vocabulary. Powerful language, especially when we're trying to bring unity to something, is we. Here's what I see. Here's what I'm hearing. How can I support you? How can I listen better? You know, if you're going to say something that starts with you, it's like, okay, is there any support you need that I can offer, right? Is there anything you need from me right now? So we're not leading with that. Why are you doing it? Number four, don't take it personally. Okay, I'm talking a lot about reactivity, and I've already tapped into this a little bit. Oftentimes, if we have triggers, we have wounding, we have history, we have our own trauma, all that stuff. Someone's talking to us. This is what triggers are. They just trigger our own insecurities. They trigger our own fears. They trigger our own past wounding or our pride or whatever that says, okay, she doesn't care. She doesn't respect you. She never listens. He never fill in the blank. Do not take it personally. It's not always about you. This is where we really do get to practice emotional maturity, responsiveness instead of reactiveness. So when we do respond, do focus on that other person. So stay in your body, stay where your feet are planted, stay present, but really seek to understand. So instead of taking it personally, you know, I'm going to use a real example of this. Sometimes I'll say to Mark, you know, I'm disappointed that this happened, or I'm disappointed with how this went down or something like that. And I'm not going to lie, it's hard. So he does not like to hear that, right? Because that is a trigger for him. And there was a while there where we still work through this, where if I'm disappointed, he takes it really hard sometimes. And often I have to keep reminding him that, you know, it's not actually about you. It's okay for me to be disappointed. It's something we continue to work through, that what I feel is what I feel. The other person just wants to be validated. So sometimes her disappointment, maybe she's disappointed in a behavior, then you could take radical ownership for that. Is there something you said? Is there something you did? Is there something you said you were going to do that you didn't follow through on? That's a big one for women. When you say one thing and your word is inconsistent, when your words and your actions don't align, she has to come in and step in and be the follow through. Then that just feeds her story of being fiercely independent. Say what you're going to do, do what you're going to say, follow through, be consistent. Consistency is huge when it comes to creating safety and structure inside of a relationship. So going back to not taking it personally really requires that you're fully present, you're fully there, but you have a heart to be focused on what is she feeling? What is she thinking? What is she asking for? Where is she hurting? What does she desire? And here's the thing. One of the things I hear a lot from women, and I felt this too for a long time, was that, you know, he's not supporting my dreams or my visions. Or maybe you have a woman that has her own business, or maybe, you know, she's got her own dreams and her own desires. And every time she brings up her thing, it's like, well, she feels like you're not listening. And so part of this is really getting to understand each other. Like, what are your dreams? What is your vision for this? What would you love to experience? And I want to say that this is true, again, for both parties. When someone has really got a lot of fire and a lot of passion, a lot of drive for something, obviously there's a lot of emotion behind that. That's where all that drive and passion comes from. Don't you want to understand what the root of that is? Sometimes you'll discover that the root of that is fear. Fear of not living up. Fear of failing. Fear of not succeeding, fear of losing again. You know, I've shared my story of being divorced in the past, you know, having businesses that didn't make it and starting new businesses, and that fear of failing again is real. So sometimes this crazy drive, this fierceness can come from a fear instead of a desire to really create and build a new thing. What's beautiful is when we get to the root of this with each other, we can start to ask each other better questions. We can say, well, do we want fear to be the driver here? Or do we really want to think about what we get to consciously create together? Let's go build something that gets to be fun, exciting, life-giving. Because if we create from fear, we're going to create more pressure. And that is just a universal law. So I want to share two more things here as we start to wrap. You know, I said, don't take it personally. Do not lead with your agenda. Do not rush in there or try to rush the conversation. I always say, you know, the queen sets the pace. And I do believe that's true. Sometimes you have an agenda. I just want to get through this. I just want to solve this problem. I just want to, you know, you already know the end game. You know what you want to get to. And so if you go in there with your agenda in mind, your agenda should really be to hold space, to be curious, to be a safe space where she can talk, where she can be heard, where she can be seen. Because I'm going to tell you, if a woman's been operating this fierce independence, super strong, I don't need a man kind of world, she is desperately wanting to be seen, desperately wanting to be validated. Her feelings matter. Her dreams matter. Her words matter. And so often women that are in this state will over talk. They'll over explain. They'll shut down. They won't feel supported. And so at the core, instead of, I know you have, you may have another agenda, but if you can put first things first, God is the God of order. When you get things in the right place, the other pieces start locking in place. So the first order of business, the first agenda is really, before I go have this agenda to fix this problem or take care of that thing or get rid of this so we don't have to talk about it anymore, don't you want to get to the root? Don't you want to change the atmosphere so the energy changes between the two of you? Because I'm going to tell you, if the energy shifts and the dynamic shifts and she's no longer the protector and the provider of security and having to be the strong arm and the strength in the situation and she can relax, well, you're going to start to notice because you're the structure, you're the safety. Now she starts to open up. She will share things she hasn't shared before. She'll start to be vulnerable. She will start to ask you for wisdom, for input, for advice. She'll start to be responsive. She will start to invite you in. And I want to say right now, I'm talking about the masculine feminine dynamics, but this works the other way around because sometimes we need to be, you know, the structure for somebody else. It works great with parenting, especially when we see our kids like shutting down, locked up, they're self-protecting, right? So I'm talking about this from a marriage, relational perspective, masculine, feminine, but really what we're talking about is the energy behind it, the wounding, the structure beneath the surface. So it's really about the state the person is in. I want to say these last couple do's. Do normalize asking questions. I already said it. Most women especially just need to talk things out. Most women that I've coached, as they speak, as they talk, they process. The feminine is very vocal usually, right? And it's one of the gifts is the voice of the feminine. I always say a queen's whisper can mobilize an army or just cut the feet right out of a man. So we have to be careful with our words, ladies, if you're listening to this, because your words can be like honey or they can be like poison. And but oftentimes the feminine just needs to speak things out and she will process. She will come up with her own answers. She just wants to be heard. And sometimes the one who needs to hear her the most is for herself to have a place where she can just let herself hear herself. You'll be surprised how many times we just don't tolerate weakness, vulnerability, insecurity. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it come out of our own mouths. And so actually having a space where we can be raw, where we can be real, where we can be seen, not only is it incredibly healing, it starts to just completely shift the dynamic. So ask questions. Women need to talk things out. Learn the art of listening. Listening means shut up, be quiet, be still. Can you really pause and think before you respond? Speak from your heart to her heart. You know, again, if you've got two talking heads, you got two bulls in a china closet, you will lock up. We want heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul conversations. And if one person's in their head and the other one's in their heart, you will be the one that shifts it. Trust me. This goes back to number one. Check your state. If you're all up in your head, get into your heart, okay? The last two things I want to say here is do normalize being uncomfortable. It is okay for people to have emotions. It's okay for people to feel sad, to feel grief, to be disappointed. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be frustrated or pissed off. You know, oftentimes, anger or frustration can be a familiar home sometimes, but I know now that if I'm angry or frustrated, it just shows me where I'm misaligned. So with the right conversations, instead of focusing on the anger or the frustration or taking things personally of why are you frustrated? Why are you angry? It's like, okay, well, what feels out of integrity? What feels out of alignment? What do you feel like you want to change? And now we get to have better, more conscious conversation about what we get to create together. In the last conversation with Mark, if you go back and listen to that episode, a lot of those conversations that we have, the daily brief, the daily prayer, the, you know, the kingdom wealth, the money talks, they were born out of frustration initially because something wasn't working and we were butting heads and there was irritation and there was grinding. And so instead of getting frustrated and angry with each other, like, well, why are you doing this? And why are you doing that? And you're not listening to me. It's like, okay, what is the frustration telling us? What is this frustration about? When you normalize being okay with people's emotions, we can start to ask more emotionally intelligent questions, right? Anger always points to something. Sadness points to something. Hello, you have a heart. You're human. Grief is part of being human, right? Jealousy even. We can feel these emotions but not become overtaken by them. We can use them as guideposts to bring us back into a more life-giving place. The last thing I want to say here is, you know, I love Ecclesiastes says, let your speech, your words at all time be full of grace, be pleasant, and also seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each other, the one who questions you. Here's what that means, to be seasoned with salt. Salt is truth, right? Salt is like, ooh, sometimes salt is what brings flavor. Salt is what makes things come alive. We hear this all the time, like, well, should I say the truth or should I hide from the truth? I do believe we need to be, again, if you want a great relationship with someone, we need to have the ability to speak honestly, openly, truthfully with one another. But we need to create safety first, okay? If you're just spewing truth out there from an angry place, from a frustrated place, it's going to sound like an arrow to the heart. It's going to come across as an attack. So we want to make sure, and this is why I put this as number 7, is if you've done this right and you've checked your state and you're leading with curiosity and you're asking questions and you're allowing the emotions to be in there, we can speak honestly about what we feel, about our concerns, whether it's financial concerns, you know, parenting concerns, business concerns, concerns about our marriage, where the direction we're going, the priorities we have, the values where we're misaligned. We can do it from a place of love instead of a place of fear. And when truth is spoken from a place of love, which is the heart, the spirit, it resonates differently. It hits differently. Now, we don't always love to hear it, but it moves us. It convicts us differently than when it's spoken from anger, like a dart, where people just usually get angry, guilty, defensive, frustrated, and then just hurl another one back. So I want to say that sometimes people say, oh, it's brutal honesty. Season it with salt, right? Be loving, be respectful. Let your mouth be a fountain of life. Let your mouth be a source of blessing. A lot of these things are from the book of Proverbs. It is literally like a fountain of wisdom, especially around conscious language. Speak truthfully, speak honestly, but do it from a place of love. Don't let anger, fear, guilt, any of those, you know, lower level, I don't want to say lower level, but heavier places be the place that you speak from. You can be hurting and you can still speak from love. Right? You can be hurting. That person may have hurt you. That person may be living completely out of integrity. You can say, this is not okay. I'm not okay with this. I love you. And I also can't continue to tolerate this. Something has to change. Our tone is everything. And I want to say this last thing before I hop. Tone is everything. Because your tone is translating your energy. Remember that words, I send these daily messages to my clients. And one that I sent recently said that words are containers for power to travel, for power to transfer. Words are containers for power, energy. Power is energy, right? To transfer. The question is, as I am opening my mouth, what am I transferring in the atmosphere, emotionally, energetically? What kind of power? Is it the power to give life, the power to open, the power that opens doors, that breaks down walls? Is it a power that brings people closer together, or is it a power that divides? Is it a power that makes things more rigid, that closes hearts and minds? So important. Tone is so much of communication. Tone is the frequency that you speak to, the energy behind what you say. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And a lot of this comes back from number one, check your state. Check your state, check your state. Keep checking your state while you're talking, because something will be said, you'll tense up, and boom, your tone will change. Your tone changes when your body language changes. Your tone language is when you get changes when you get triggered. Your tone changes when you start going up in your head. It takes a lot of awareness. It takes a lot of presence to stay grounded, to stay anchored. Woo! Okay, that was a lot. This was like a full-on training today. Wow, these podcast episodes are fire. So today we talked about how to communicate. We're talking about how to create safety. We're talking about how to break down walls, how to move from this place of where you got people that are running in their own lanes, trying to do it all alone, to move into the place of interdependence, where we go further together. You do you, I do me. There's space in our relationship for both of us, but there's so much more available when we come together, right? And we can honor each other. There's room for each other's thoughts. There's room for each other's hearts. There's room for each other's emotions because we're being led by something greater than us. So as I wrap, I'm going to repeat those real quick. Number one, do not ask her what's wrong with her. Do not offer unsolicited advice. Do not use the words you or why to lead sentences. Do not take things personally. Check yourself. Are you taking everything personally? Are you making everything about you all the time? Practice emotional maturity. Do not lead with your agenda like a bull in a china closet. You know what you're there to accomplish. What you're there to accomplish is safety, connection, understanding. Do not hide. Do not avoid. Do not run. Lean in to the discomfort. Instead, do check your state before you go in. Do lead with curiosity. Do cultivate an ear and a heart to really listen. Train yourself. Become a master listener. Do mirror what she said. Do ask questions. Normalize being uncomfortable. Normalize it being okay for people to feel what they feel, for emotions to be out instead of hidden, and we're afraid of them and we're uncomfortable with them. Do speak truthfully and honestly. Don't hide that stuff. If you have a concern, if you have something that's weighing you down and is heavy on your heart, share it. This is what relationships are for, but do it from a place of love, not fear, not frustration, not anger. Okay? I want to remind you guys, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. His words of wisdom are a source of blessing. I pray that your words are a source of blessing to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your team, to whoever you're opening your mouth to talk to. And I'm going to finish where I started. If you guys have not yet got this, I'm releasing this the first episode, I think, that we are releasing the free gift, the first chapters of the book, Drop the Armor. You guys can follow the link below at thechristinejewel.com/drop it. You'll get that download now. You can start to chew on this. A lot of these conversations are birthed right out of the book because I share my story of being this woman, making my journey out of that into the place that I'm at today, where we have totally different communication, totally different relationships going on, life-giving words that are a source of blessing. So make sure you get the book, download the free chapters, buy the whole book so that when it comes out, you get it. But I definitely want you to grab that free gift. We have some awesome bonuses coming your way in the next couple months as we get closer and closer to launch date. And of course, this will continue to be live if you're listening to this after the book goes live. Last thing before you hop, if you love this message, if this spoke into your heart, please take a minute, follow, subscribe, leave a review, because this is how the podcast grows. This is how the message is shared. You subscribe, you forward it. If you're watching this on YouTube, you comment, and this helps us increase, you know, the reach, get the audience out there. As always, I want to thank you guys for being here. Thank you for being part of the conversation. Until next time, here's to loving fiercely, leading courageously. Bye for now. I am beyond excited to share that Drop the Armor is officially available for pre-order. And today I have a free gift for my listeners. You can get instant access to the first two chapters by texting the word DROP IT to 844-974-4593. That's text the word DROP IT, one word, to 844-974-4593. If you have been fighting battles your whole life and you're ready to step into a whole new playing field, if you've been longing for a life of ultimate freedom, deeper faith, and greater purpose, you guys, this book was written for you. It is a blueprint to upgrade your battle strategies. It is a journey to get out of your head and into your heart, and really a pathway to uplevel every area of your life as you learn to lead, love, and fight different.
Get your copy today by texting the word DROP IT to 844-974-4593, or you can visit thechristinejewel.com/drop it. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute right now to subscribe and review. Your 5-star review goes so far in getting this message into the ears and hearts of the people who need to receive it. Thank you again for being part of this conversation. Have a beautiful, blessed, and prosperous day.